across Maya is a violent sickness altering the very form of nature. The people cower behind city walls, losing their connections to history and all hope of a better life. But six seasoned adventurers, Allegan, gnome sorcerer, Logoth, the bone-armed cleric, Mativis, Varana samurai, Nydia, hag hedgewitch, Ogan the Anvil, human cleric, and Ravi, half-orc magus librarian, will be called out of retirement to battle monsters and the sickness itself, speak with the gods above and below, and separate myth from truth. Join us for the Great Old Ones.
So last time you guys, you stopped at the Lonely Tavern on the bridge.
Right, we got attacked by phase spiders.
Phase spiders came out, and you survived, which I was really impressed by. I liked that you guys made it. So the next thing that happened was you guys traveled for about a second. You're on the second day of travel across the bridge. You still hear that murmur that's coming from the sea of pink slime underneath you. And you saw in the distance that there was a stone building that ran the width of the bridge, and the building shot up close to 30 feet in the air. And then after about 30 feet, it began to turn into a spire, and the spire twisted into like a helix pattern until it finished at a point another 60 or so feet up. So it, you know, it's like 30 feet, and then it starts to taper in into the spire, and then it goes all the way. So all told, it's about 90 feet tall, and it's just squat in the middle of this bridge. It has a huge front door, or it has a small front door carved out of dawnstone. And then another thing that you noticed is along the sides of the building, there were large chunks of fungus, like wrapped around vines, that were stretched down into this slowly moving sea of ooze. None of you, I believe, wanted to mess with those. And you had just opened the door. Inside the door, we'll get to what's all there. So, hi everybody! Welcome back. There's a table that's 20 by 30, and it sits covered in various jars, bags, and piles of random objects. A large 5-foot by 5-foot section has been cleared away of most of the paraphernalia. And in its place is a small pile of bones and fungus that has a magical circle drawn around it. But that's all you can kind of see. And the only reason you assume it's magic is it's slightly radiating, like a slight glow. There is a strange little butchered shark beast looking thing over here in the corner. There's a room that's over here. You can't actually see anything inside the room from your... Well, from... Yeah, Ravi, from her vantage point, she can kind of see that there's a large bone skeletal-looking thing in there. Something's happening. She can also make out these four barrels. And the three of you at the door can see that this entire corner is covered in moss. And there's like a little nest that's been built out of moss and fungus over here. So that's what you can see from a cursory glance into the room.
Oh, it covers the whole expanse of the bridge. We might as well go in.
Before we go in, I'm going to give an arcana check.
Okay.
It looks magical.
Let's see what she can
Yay!
Roll.
Yay! We're going to keep
Mativis, master of the arcane.
Yeah, please roll. Can't wait.
Yes.
Oh, it's a beautiful two.
Okay. I know that mine is like incredibly low, so I'm just gonna go ahead and roll Arcana as well, because I'm gonna fail.
Right.
But I want Mativis to know that I appreciate.
With that 23. Yeah. That's...
I loosen the magic in the air up for you.
I'm gonna eat a Tide Pod. So delicious.
I'm gonna follow. After Mativis.
Okay.
We're going inside.
Yeah, I'll move in a bit quicker.
Boop. I'm going to go this way.
Okay.
Did I come in, or should one of us wait out here?
No, let's all come inside.
Logoth says something about danger and...
And don't say the F word.
Don't say the F word.
Shut up, bunny hand man.
There's a feral chicken screaming somewhere.
Yeah.
Not one of mine.
Who wants to inspect what? Let's kind of figure out where everybody's going.
I'll let Mativis go first since he came in first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have a look at what's on the table.
I'm going to head to the fleshy dead shark.
I will head to the altar of Toad over here.
I would also like to inspect the table.
Okay.
And I would like to check this door.
There's a door there.
Like, is it locked? Is it trapped?
We'll go around the circle. First, we'll hit Mativis, yep. And we'll jump to Ravy. I'll go to Ogun and then Allegan, and then Nydia. Mativis, looking at the table, there's definitely a circle that's emanating light. In the center, there seems to be a bunch of bones and a little bit of fungus just kind of put together. From what you can tell, just looking at the table, there's a lot of bags and jars of stuff that you don't really recognize any of. It looks like what you might have seen in an herbology shop. Some of it might be spell components, only because you've sort of been around casters to use components. But whatever this circle was used to summon clearly isn't in the middle of the circle, so you have no idea.
I just nudge Allegan with my shoulder and go, check this out, man.
Because you're being nudged, do you want to go ahead and throw it now, Maddie, since you're there?
Yeah, the knowledge arcana.
Yeah, go ahead. It's not a language that you understand. Well, the magic is a very basic form of summoning, so it's not any kind of in-depth spellcasting. It's fairly basic summoning spell. The thing that's catching you up, though, is whatever it was summoning, you're not familiar with it. Like, you don't... It would be as if somebody made a recipe using, like, water, flour, yeast, some spices, some salts. They were making some sort of bread or pastry, but you weren't familiar exactly what kind of bread or pastry they were making. So you know what I mean?
I don't know what techniques were being used.
Right. You know what a croissant is. You know what a bagel is. You know what a biscuit is. This is something that you've never heard of nor seen. You don't recognize the languages of magic that are representative of whatever's being summoned.
What about an alchemy check for the various items on the table?
You can roll one, but it's going to probably take you a good, like, 10 minutes to go through everything and kind of get an assessment of what's there, because none of it's organized. It's very thrown together.
Okay, I'll say that's what I am doing.
Okay, so with a 16, I'll let you know in a minute or two what you find. Okay,
that's good.
Ravy, so she's looking at this shark, right? It's it looks like it's been butchered. It has a sheen of kind of the pinkness that you've seen in that ocean underneath. Can you throw me a perception check? Two things stand out to you. One, it looks very, very fresh, like startlingly fresh, like straight from the ground or straight from the water fresh, but it has dust on it. So that's weird. Two, in its eye, it looks like there's a hook of gold, roughly the, you know, circumference or the diameter of a coin, that is hooked through its eye. And as you're kind of looking at it, it looks almost as if it's a ring of sorts that doesn't quite complete the circuit. So, you know, the rings that are missing like a spacer? It looks like that. And it's kind of stuck in its eye.
I'm going to call Mativis over.
Okay.
I'm going to explain to him what I have just found and ask him if he wants to poke at it with his sword.
That always goes so well.
Let's just poke it.
And while he's poking at it with his sword, I'm going to move over here.
Okay. Most scientific of methods.
Go on, eyeball.
can you pass me one of your casual books?
No, you can use your tail.
I risked my tail once already in this adventure.
And it's completely still attached.
This thing definitely looked dead.
Well, yeah, it's flesh. It's rendered.
In a way, yeah.
Fuck it. I draw my sword.
Okay.
And I just look at Ravy and go, this is going against your rule.
I know, but I want to know.
Actually, would my sword be able to tell me anything about it?
No. No, it wouldn't. I mean, it would, but it's not time to talk to your sword yet.
Okay.
It's got to be nighttime.
Okay, stabby stabby in the eye then.
Okay, so you stab it in the eye, and we'll get back to you in a second. Ogun, so you walk over here. Ogun walks over to this part of the room.
Yes.
Now what you see as you move to this part of the room is the chamber has no doors. There's just a large opening that partitions this space off from the rest of the building, right? And inside, the most noticeable thing is this massive skull. It's huge. 15 feet wide by 20 feet long by probably 8 feet tall, somewhere in there. This is a giant, giant skull. Kind of weird, though. It has a large ocular hole in the center of it. Across the top of where the hole is, there are a number of smaller holes. And then underneath the large ocular hole, there's a small jawed mouth. All skeletal. It also looks as if it has been filled with a type of red amber-looking stone, as if somebody has socketed a ruddy-colored amber into this skeletal structure. And you throw me a knowledge history or a knowledge nature, whatever's higher for you. Yep, knowledge history or knowledge nature. If you have either of them, I don't know if you have either of those. Oh, just you would throw me an int check if you don't have either. Just okay. Be an intelligence roll. Okay. It's probably the skull of a beholder.
I was going to ask if there were beholders in Maya, because that's what it reminded me of.
Oh, yeah, they're beholders.
My character would know that.
Yeah, and this is probably the skull of a beholder. That's noticeable to you.
Have we fought beholders before?
You guys have not.
In our history? Okay.
They're not really native to the northern climate. They're a more southern climate creature. There's also, if you want to throw me a perception check real quick, Jim, there's a nail tacked into the skull. And hanging from it is a chain with a ruby amulet. So that's also noticeable.
I was going to ask what these maze like.
I was going to say. Okay. So the floor. No, you're cool. As you're looking at the skull and you see the amber and everything, that's kind of the first thing that took you back. As your eyes kind of glance down, you see the ruby pendant, and then you look towards the floor. It looks like the amber that was filled into the skull, that kind of reddish amber that was filled in the skull, has also been used to create just decoration and adornment across the floor and pillars behind the skull against the wall. So it looks like somebody has built like a small shrine to the skull in this room.
But it's not like some sort of binding magic or anything. It's just
doesn't
decoration.
Look like, yeah, it doesn't look magical in any shape or form. If you had detect magic, you know, we could go through that. But from just a glance, you look at the summoning thing and you go, that's glowy, that's magic. You look at this and you go, that's pretty, that's different. There's detect magic. Okay.
That's some magic.
So the nothing is magical except the amulet. Ooh. The amulet that hangs from the skull is definitely magical. And you're going to have to concentrate on a little bit before you can get more about that.
That's just cool. I'm just thinking this could be the most awesome whip in Maya. Like, yeah. It was like a control mechanism or something. You could ride that beholder around.
It'd be pretty killer. Pretty sweet. Okay. Round one, there's definitely a magical aura. So we'll okay. start. So now we will jump over to Nydia. Nydia, you are looking at this door.
Okay, I want to make Ravy very proud
okay.
in trying to do things without getting hurt.
Okay.
I want to check and see if this thing is trapped. This door is trapped.
It does not. With a 25, this door does not appear to be trapped.
Excellent.
It's my favorite thing to say. That literally is my favorite thing.
That's like the closest we have to a great old ones drinking game.
Yeah, it does not appear to be trapped.
Most of the time, the doors are never trapped. They're just, you open them and there's flame monsters, slime monsters, weird, non-gendered fae.
The door does appear to be ambushed.
Oh, wait, you said fae. Oh, don't say that!
Phony Handman isn't even here. I do not get a yellow card for that.
Flag on the play! Flag on the play! Don't say the F word! That's some funny shit.
Does the door happen to be locked?
The door does not appear to be locked.
Alright, I'd like to
not touch it.
Okay.
I'd like to open it.
You open the door. Alright, let's open the door. Alright, hold on. This is a Dawnstone room. It is large, but spotless. Except for a rack of various weapons and armors that sit against the far back wall, and two empty pillars that sit on either side of them. So, like, this and this are just, like, 2 foot tall, empty, like, less pillars, more like dioceses, and then diocese. And then this rack back here is various short swords, long swords, rapiers, suits of armor, mostly chain, nothing big. That's just kind of been filed in the back of the room.
I would like to end my turn by saying, Oh, Tevis, Allegan, Ogun, and Avon Ravy, if you're interested in weapons, I found the stash.
Okay. We will jump back to Allegan. You're looking through stuff.
Yes.
Cool. As you get through it, you find a lot of spell components. Most of it seems to be fungal-based. Most of it seems to be fairly old, probably within the last, like, year, though. But definitely nothing's been fresh. It's all dried components. You could easily stock up on probably a month's worth of first to fourth level spells just by raiding what's here, component-wise. There's also just a lot of weird trash that's kind of scattered through it, too. Like birds, not birds. There's bat wings, and, you know, there's weird little, like, fungal fish and bits of lizard and, you know, other less discernible pieces of ichor that are scattered around. But for the most part, you know, it's a fairly decent yet unorganized collection of components.
Unless there's anything nice and expensive spell component-wise.
Nah, it's all mundane.
Yeah. And Nydia, if you want, I found some supplies that might help you.
Ooh, I can't believe I walked right past that and didn't stop.
There were a lot of components on that table. So I'm going to jump over to Tevis. You poke it with your sword. What do you do next?
Does it do anything?
I mean, the sword goes into it.
Oh yeah, I draw it out.
Okay.
I'm not leaving it in.
What do you do after you pull your sword out?
I look at it, see if it's moving. I glance at Ravy and kind of shrug if it doesn't do anything.
Make me a perception check, because I'm assuming you were paying attention.
I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
14's not great.
You're like the Fort Knox of paying attention with a 22. Holy shit. But you bought attention. Jesus Christ, that's awesome. You watch the slice that he put in the eye. It closes up as if it was somehow mystically healed.
Okay, I kind of get into a battle pose. And I turn to Ravy and go, kick the tail. See if it's alive. It might just have, like, healing properties on it.
Don't you think it's because it's on Dawnstone?
Possibly, but I'm not going to cut myself or one of you guys to find out.
I'm not saying we need to find out. I'm saying we could drag it outside.
Was it the Dawnstone that did other Greenstone?
Well,
maybe that thing with the Greenstone. The Greenstone
affected time.
Yeah.
The Dawnstone just was really bright and kind of messed with us. We found out it didn't have any healing properties.
It's also covered in pink goo. I don't know. Let's take it outside and chop its head off.
See if it grows a second head.
I have a hypothesis, if you guys want to hear it.
Go for
yeah.
It.
If this is some sort of like staging room, okay, we've already found a bunch of components, a bunch of weapons, right? And they, you said that the shark is preserved but covered with dust.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a food source, and that gold ring in his eye is like causing it to regenerate or something. And this is where they would eat before they went out, whatever behind this door, the gugs or whatever we were warmed out before. Again, just a hypothesis, just putting it out there. You said it was butchered, right? It wasn't like just slaughtered. It looked like it'd been methodically cut, right?
That is correct, sir.
That's just, again, just my hypothesis. Maybe this is what they would eat before they went on their expeditions into wherever.
Let's take it outside and dig out its eyeball.
Okay, one second. And I give two more jabs, just like in the belly area, to see if it heals up there as well.
As you wait, because I'm going to jump around, but as you wait, yes, very much so. It knits itself back together, and you guys have been here long enough to see that there is some damage that does not appear to be healed. But anybody familiar with regeneration knows that if you take out all the vital organs, you know, i.e. things that would allow it to thrash around or get away, and then you put a ring of regeneration on something, it will grow back any damage done after the fact. So you could keep it alive if you just have its fatty areas that could be eaten from. You could keep those constantly regenerating while not allowing it to grow back the rest of itself.
So we would know this.
Ravy would know this. Definitely.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, Ravy would definitely know. And clearly, Ogun knows it. He dropped mad science on everybody. So
sorry, I'm just thinking this looks like a ready room. I mean, we know.
No, I mean, it's a really good assessment. Yeah.
Someone rolls some natural 20s over here. Good job, Ogun.
If one of you tell me to remove the ring, then I will get that ring out of the eye.
Yeah, remove the ring.
This is a big old shark, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Can I say something else real quick?
Go for
One
it.
One of the biggest arguments we had in our last session was the fact that we're running out of food.
Yeah.
Remember, we were talking about killing the iguana because we were running out of food.
I wouldn't say that was an argument. I wasn't angry at y'all.
Well, no, I didn't. We're discussion. Sorry.
Well, we lost it.
Maybe we should cut some of the shark meat first, let it regenerate, and then you can do whatever you want to it.
Well,
would the shark fit on my food, though?
Well, I was going to say, why don't we, provided that, you know, whoever inhabits this place isn't just hanging out back, we could take a piece of the shark with us with the ring inside of it, and then we would just have a constant source of food.
Yeah.
I mean, we can put it in one of the boxes and it won't wear a thing.
Well, it's why I want to take the ring out, but I guess I don't want to take the head. The head doesn't really have that much nutrients to it.
Just cut some nice big shark steaks, put them in his drop box with the ring of regeneration, and we'll have regenerating food as long as we don't get tired of eating shark.
Yeah, let's cut the
stuff
off.
I mean, he does get a little dry.
We can put the ring on the fin and take the torso.
Do we bring any salt?
There's actually a lot of salt on this table.
Yeah. I was going to say, there might be some on the table there.
There we go. So we'll pack some salt with us.
That sounds
great.
If we
had to put the ring on a chunk of it, would the chunk regenerate?
I think, based off of what we've seen of this shark, it will keep the meat fresh, but it won't.
It's how it's all been the way that it is right now.
It's not going to regenerate a whole shark.
Right. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If we take it like a steak, we can cut little slivers off of the steak.
Yeah.
That's what the plan was, yeah.
Dig out the eyeball, make a steak, shove the ring inside the meat, and take it with us.
That sounds great. Let's do
that's
that.
A great idea. I wish I'd thought of that.
I stole it from Ogun.
Speaking of Ogun, what are you doing, buddy?
I'm going to move a little bit closer to this beholder skull. I'm not going to touch it or anything, but I just want to try and inspect it a little more closely.
Okay.
See if there are any sort of engravings, markings, any like wear, tear, like.
It looks. I mean, just looking at it and having your crafting knowledge, you don't even need to roll. It looks like it's been polished, cleaned up, and this is here as almost like a shrine, like it's been put here in a very reverential setting. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really appear like there's any kind of like mechanisms or. You know, like any way that it's kind of attached to the floor. It's been sat here. Like, this wasn't part of this room originally. This is an add-on.
And the amulet definitely seems to go with it.
Yeah, and the
same
amulet...
Kind of, same kind of amber? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
No, you're good, man. The skull and the adornments in the room are that red amber. The amulet is a ruby set into a pewter with a pewter chain.
Okay.
And I believe round two gives you a number of different magical auras and the power of the most potent aura. What's your range on this? 60 feet?
60 feet.
Okay, so you're getting magic... hold on. Are you scanned out on the map?
I'm scanning out as far as I can.
Okay, so you're getting... Well, 60 feet wise, so it's just really the room. There's magic on the amulet here. There's something magical back here in this corner.
Ooh.
This is magical. This is the most powerful magical right here. And there's something magical back here.
I'm just going to impart that to the rest of the party. Say, hey, I'm detecting magic, and I'll show them the different places. That'll be my turn, I guess.
Yep.
Where the green moss is, the green ring, the ring in the shark's eyeball.
The weapon rack.
And the
ruby amulet that I'm standing in front of.
So ruby amulet, something in the moss... The summoning ring on the table, the strongest bit of magic is, as you've all guessed, a ring of regeneration that's in the shark. And then there's something back in the room that's resonating as magical. But that's actually the weakest magical symbol or aura of all of them.
I don't know nothing about weapons, but I sure wouldn't mind looking at what's on this table.
Okay.
I think that would be an arcana check or something to see. I would like to see if I can tell what kind of spells are being cast from the components in the ring.
Go for it. Spell components are abjuration, necromancy. Those are the two schools that this will most likely be used from. It's a summoning circle of some sort, but you also do not recognize the whatever it is being used to summon. You're just not familiar with that piece of language. that's going into it. It just, it's not something that you've ever crossed, you would be familiar with in any way.
I'm not a summoner.
Yeah, so
I don't study that.
Syllabically, it doesn't really resonate even across like Helic. You can't walk it through like, you know, other languages and have the words of magic make sense. There's not really a way to make an inference of what it is. It's just, it's something else, something outside the normal known words.
Now, necromancy, I'm very familiar with. Abjuration as a player.
So abjuration is...
defense and wards.
Yeah, it's like wards and shells. It's really for like banishing, protection, unsummoning, dissipation, basically anything that would, it's reactionary magic. So like anything that we put into place really screw with the, well, in players' terms, it screws with like, it's like energy drain. It's like things that'll mess with vulnerability. It's like things that'll, if you do this, this happens kind of magic.
And if you're going to summon something, you're going to want to have those as a
way to make it go away. Yeah, basically, yeah. So necromancy, abjuration go hand in hand. One is like, it's like a light switch. So necromancy, you turn on the undead. Abjuration, you turn off the undead.
Last question.
Go for
it. Is this something that we saw Churis doing, the Rakshasa?
Rakshasa, no, definitely not. This wouldn't be his schools.
Although he was summoning.
Right.
Stuff.
And I mean, his schools were more universal. This is very direct focus. Like this, from a spellcasting perspective, like as opposed to going to a buffet that has a bunch of different types of food, this is like going to a hole in the wall sushi joint. They make sushi. It's good. That's what you get there. You don't get teriyaki. You don't get anything else. You go there, you get sushi, you enjoy it, you go home. This is, you know, very focused casting components.
Okay.
There's not a lot of room for other stuff here.
Where Churis was
he was global components, right? He was dabbling in all of the schools.
Okay, I would like to collect some components.
Totally.
Oh, no, I said last question. I'll ask this question later.
Okay.
We'll go on to the next person.
Allegan, what's your plan, man?
Since I've done a precursory look at the table and Nadia's over here giving a more thorough once over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see what's up with these barrels.
Okay.
Because the last barrels we found were very, very helpful.
These barrels, one has a light blue fluid in it, two have a pink fluid in it, and one has a green fluid in it.
One blue, one green, two pink?
I'm sorry, one pink, two green.
Two green.
One light blue.
Okay.
And you're standing in front of the light blue one right now.
Yeah.
I let him know that I did not detect magic on any of those.
Yeah, let's try alchemy and see. No!
No. There's liquid in here, barrel.
This is some funny looking water.
With that, I'm going to jump away from what you're doing. Ravy, what are you up to?
I'm waiting for Mativis to stab this thing in the eye, and then I have a curious thought of, if I shove this ring on Logoth's hand...
I was thinking the same thing.
Bone, turn back to flesh. Interesting.
If it's positive energy, it's gonna blow his arm off.
That's not a bad thing.
To be fair, okay. Though, from the look of the shark, it's already sustained damage before the ring went on, and that's not healed back. So
remember when we shoved a holy sword into the slime and it exploded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heal Logoth, and when Allegan tried to heal Logoth,
I'm just knowing what my options are in case Logoth doesn't seem to be of assistance anymore.
I vote for the let's not worry about food for the rest of the adventure option.
We can do that, and then say we find more food. Then we can use the ring for different options.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
You do manage to get the ring off, and then I guess are you guys trying to shove
it into a meat steak?
Okay, so ring.
I imagine what we need to do is take the ring out, hold on to the ring, cut the meat steak, then shove the ring into the meat steak.
Indeed, and for every round, which is a 6-second increment, that you hold on to the ring, you gain a hit point back.
I'm mm-hmm. awesome and at full. Yay!
Nice ring.
Yep, ring. I'll. Now, you guys, I'm giving the party a ring of regeneration. By all means, do whatever you see fit to do with it. That's the stats for it.
I'm going to get married to Logoth and put it on his finger.
I'll let you guys kill each other with it, because that's typically what happens in these situations. Rings of Regeneration are fantastic. I survived a party with 3 strength. I had 3 strength from the entire game, and I survived because I had a Ring of Regeneration. It was just how I made it through stuff. So you guys are taking care of the shark meat in the ring. Nighty is collecting components. Allegan is staring at his reflection in these buckets. I'm real cute. That's what he's thinking.
Wondering when it will show who I really am inside.
And Ogan, what are you doing, buddy?
I'm debating whether or not to try to take this ruby pendant.
Your call, man.
If it's worth the effort or not. I don't know. I'll throw it out to the group. What do you guys think? I know our motto has been don't touch it, but I'm getting magic off of it. It doesn't seem to be part of the rest of the thing. It just seems to be kind of put here.
I don't know. We found a Ring of Regeneration over here, so what's it attached to?
Oh, a beholder skull full of amber.
just a skull.
Yeah, you know, just the skull of a beholder. Not, you know, as you see.
Can we crush the skull? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Well, it's filled with amber.
Let's check the weapon room first in case it comes alive.
Yeah, well, I'm just curious. Even if it's filled with amber, you can still crush it, right?
I guess. I have a big hammer, so I'm thinking I could.
And it wouldn't hurt the amulet, right?
Do you want me to come in there and see if I can figure out what it does?
Yeah, I'll throw an Arcana check as well, because I'm no slouch in this part.
Yeah, it's there's definitely something going on here. It's definitely some sort of possibly summoning magic, or binding magic going on with this amulet.
This could be binding magic. I don't want this thing to come to life. So, what do you think, Allegan?
I think I can find out what exactly we're dealing with, but I'd have to go breaking the cardinal rule of not touching things.
You touch it, I'll back you up.
I just missed my eyeball out of a shark with Ativis, and we have food now.
You missed what?
I missed my visor. Remember my old Superman visor?
Well, I'm on a different window, so I couldn't even see your face.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Can we hear this conversation?
Yeah, you're all in a room together. You can hear it. I mean, you're like less than, I would say maybe, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. There's like maybe 50 feet.
But Tima, should we roll? Yeah. He gets a better cut of meat.
Well, hang on. Guys, don't touch it yet. Let me get in for an assist in case you need some backup.
I wonder if the beholder was summoned.
What is Ravy even rolling right now?
Oh, to see. Yeah, I got a great cut of meat.
Yeah, I would say you look at that like a boss.
Suddenly I'm having flashbacks of fishing.
Oh, that's
just
fantastic.
Just saying, prime grade shark over here.
It's delicious.
Delish.
And the best part is, you're thinking about it as you put the Ring of Regeneration into it. You wouldn't even need to cure it with salt because it'll always be fresh.
Yeah.
So I have that ring. So I don't want to cut it out.
No.
You handed it to
her. I took
it
from you because you are you and I am me.
Because remember, she was holding it and she got the hit points back. And that was when I dropped it in the chat.
Yeah, because you were hacking up a shark.
So, Mativis, are you going over there to make your arcane roll?
Oh, I can do one. I was going over there in case it came alive.
Oh, okay. I legitimately thought you were like, hold on, let me come with my
expert. Hang on,
I was waiting to see the knowledge arcane.
Oh, I just thought Allegan already cast it. Oh, I'm sorry.
Improvement.
The mighty Mativis has nothing else to say.
Wow, he's so smart.
Oh, shit. Fuck me, that's great.
I'm coming here for physical backup, not iconic.
So, Jim... Hold on, guys. So, Jim, you're looking at... This would be round 3.
Right.
And on round 3, it will give you... Second round is the number of auras. Round 3 is... Where the hell is round 3? Is that when you need to roll? Strength and location of each aura. You got that.
Right.
Line of sight, you got that. Skills, DC spell check, you're good. So you've identified the properties, the type of magic. You know that it's binding, so it's abjuration. And then you think another 2 minutes and you would understand the spell's function on caster level.
Okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
Wait, before I touch it, I'm going to look at Allegan. I'm saying, if this is binding magic, we're just going to leave it. Because evidently it's keeping something bound in here. But if it's something else that could be useful, we'll take it. Because you cast it, right?
Great. Now I just have this identify going.
So, I was going to say, you just cast identify. What does it have? Tell him.
So it lets me get a plus 10 to spellcraft checks.
Mm-hmm. And the command words and properties, right?
Plus an enhancement bonus on spellcraft checks made to identify properties and command words of magic items in possession.
Doesn't allow you to identify artifacts there, does it?
No.
Okay, so it just tells you command words?
Yes.
Okay, so the words of magic to activate this item, there are three of them. We're just going to call them compulsion, summon, and enhance. So those are the three.
Okay.
And you feel very uncomfortable about whatever this thing does. Like, as you're looking at it, you're like, this might be a fucking trap. Like, that's what you're looking at this and you're like, I don't know what it does, but I don't necessarily know if I like it.
Well, I trust his judgment. I mean, we've been on a lot of adventures together.
Right. So, and Jim, as you're looking at this, as Ogun is like taking it in and the words of magic, like, it's kind of doing that beautiful mind math puzzle thing as you're putting it all together, you realize that there's something trapped inside of this amulet. And if you touch it, you feel like it'll compel you to activate it and summon whatever is trapped inside of this amulet.
Okay, let's get out of here.
But that's only if you touch the amulet.
Right, I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to say, okay, Allegan, it's good enough for me, man. I'm out. You know, discretion is the better part of valor, everybody.
Hey, man, so. I mean, that's how you go about not touching shit, by the way.
Yep.
Mama Ribby has taught you all very well.
I'm just Camp saying Ravy. That you have all learned that when I touch stuff, it's awesome. When you touch stuff, dead well, then, things rise up.
We then come over here and get the amulet.
I'm not touching the amulet. It's obviously evil. So right, why don't we go look at the weapons and then leave?
Well, there's something in this moss over here, too. Since I've got the Matavis and Allegan with me, you guys want to back me up with a look in there?
Yeah, let's go check that out.
All right, you guys don't have to make a perception check while you're looking in the moss, because
yay. You
can see it with the magical. Let's go to handouts, shall we?
Yay,
visual aids. Yeah. Okay, so what you see, you notice it's like this, this carved stone. It's shaped roughly like a shark's tooth, like a very large shark's tooth. And at the base, there's carved only which you could really only describe as like a vertical mouth, lined with teeth. And
a
as
shark
the,
mouth.
And as it goes up into the tooth, it becomes a spiked spiral, and it looks like this very strange, like, fetish of sorts, like or totem.
How big is it?
It's about the size. It's probably about a foot tall. And roughly triangular in shape. It's craggy, like you can hold on to it, but it's fairly thin, you know, because it's like a big old shark tooth.
Or an arrowhead, maybe.
Could be, yeah, or spearhead.
Could be some religious artifact. True. You know, a lot of crazy cult stuff down there.
There is magic coming from it, though.
I'm gonna take it off the map, but it's in all of your notes, so you should be able to see it whenever you want to look at it. And it's very lightweight, and you feel like if you weren't used to working with weapons, like if anybody else in the party had grabbed this thing, they might have to make a dexterity check to not cut themselves because of how kind of sharp it is. But because of all the time you spend in a forge, like, you know how to hold things with the right pressure and but gentleness to not cut yourself. But this is definitely like part of something. This isn't like a, you know, you wouldn't just walk around with this thing and try to use it as like a offensive weapon. It needs to be attached to something or used with something.
Right. Like you said, like a spear maybe, or a halberd type situation.
Right.
Okay. Any of you guys want a pole weapon? Maybe there might be a weapon in that closet over there we could put this on.
I wish someone would check out what's in the closet.
Go, I'll go look. No one else will.
Make a perception check.
14? Or yep. 6? No, 14.
It's 14, yeah. Okay, what are you doing?
I am going into the armory room.
Okay, make a perception check at the door. Okay, no, Matavis, put yourself back there. No. Hold on. This all happens at once.
Okay.
Ravy, make a dex check. you grab Mativus by the collar as he goes to step into the room, and you jerk him back. Mativus looks at you like, hey, what's going on? You give him that Dutch and Predator, like, shh, it's in the trees, look. You point forward, both of your heads turn at the same time as you look at the doorway of the room and notice a slight undulation in the air.
Close the door, let's go.
You're not intrigued? Thanks for the save.
No.
Let's throw some off the table with the door and see what happens.
Do you want, like, a shark steak or something?
I'll go over and,
I'll give him a shark steak. I've got one on me.
Before we, before we start throwing magical components at undulating things, maybe we should find out what either of those two things are.
Hey, it might be hungry.
Step back this way.
Also, you're not over here.
I heard, let's grab something from the table and throw it at it.
Exactly! Meaning that you can't interrupt us yet. So,
yeah, so really, Nydia is the only person other than these two that could chime in right now.
Throw the shark meat.
I'm going to carve some shark meat.
I've already carved it. I used the loni. You're good.
That's the food.
Yeah.
If I peek in, does it look different than when I looked in there?
It looks the same as when you looked in there.
The shark steak already regenerated. I already sliced off a piece. Go ahead.
I was going to slice a bigger piece, but I stand behind Ravy and I throw the shark meat for the door.
Okay. So, Nydia, you're standing at the door, kind of looking at him like, what the hell are they looking at? You watch them. So your eyes follow it, right? You track it. So you watch as the shark meat leaves Mativius' little monkey hand and it arcs through the air. It's a very beautiful, glistening piece of, you know, sashimi.
Looks delicious.
It looks wonderful. You almost reach out and grab it to pop it in your mouth. Looks that good. Right? And this beautiful, beautifully marbled piece of shark's meat, as it passes through the threshold of the door, it goes splork, as if it is caught, and the entire room ripples slightly, and you watch as this piece of shark meat makes it about, you'd say about 6 inches into the room, and you watch as it slowly starts to dissolve and degenerate into nothingness.
I'm on TV. Oh,
the
this.
Door. Close the door.
I give Ravy a pat on the back and go, after you.
It's still my action. I close the door.
And as you close the door, it closes with a gelatinous.
Okay.
We should go now. Yeah.
Good choice of words there.
I was gonna say, good choice of adjective there.
Yeah.
Mativus, you were dead, brah. You were, if not dead, you were gonna be in some serious pain. That perception rule.
Have we fought gelatinous cubes before?
No, you guys. Darn but it. You know what they are, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how tough they would be.
Thomas, I don't. You can go fight it if you want.
Yeah.
It's right. It's in that room.
I closed the door. Yes. The door's closed.
Ogun says there's magic stuff in there. Ogun, should we be going in there? Like, not going in there, but fighting our way in there.
Have you guys said out loud what it is?
It's a it's a freaking gelatinous cube over here. Randy just closed the door on a gelatinous cube, Allegan.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with it, too.
The door stays closed.
My sword's already pissed off with me for holding another sword. I'm not going to melt parts of it, find the gelatinous cube.
I know. Throw Logos in the room. His bony hand can figure it out.
But
we could just throw fireballs or something.
Some kind of stick or something might help out. And I take out Wendell's staff.
Uh-huh.
And I activate its detect ooze.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! There's ooze. There's a lot of ooze. The pink container. Let me show you all the ooze, Maddie. That's ooze. That's ooze right there.
The pink one. Barrel.
In the barrel. Yeah.
Okay.
All of this red amber. That's ooze.
Okay.
The stuff in the middle of the summoning circle you can't figure out. That's ooze. Inside this room, all ooze. That whole room, ooze. That's a room. That's a gelatinous cube-sized room.
It's trapped there. It's just a sitting duck. We can take care of it and get the magic.
No, Nydia.
I'm out of chow.
We're going to leave. I'm going to drag Nydia with me. as we go towards, this is a door that goes out. Look at this door. This is great. You can check it and then leave.
I just want to take a moment to address the makers of Pachow. Please help our DM to get more Pachow. Those Tide Pods keep him happy.
And a happy DM is a happy party.
That's right. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you, Pachow.
I've got a quick logistics question. Will the food dog fit through the doors? Or am I going to have to pocket him?
Yeah, I thought you already pocketed him.
All the stuff that was on top of him then?
I went with him. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Cool.
Anything that you put in his saddlebags goes with him when he goes down to size.
Oh, sweet. Oh, could have a whole shark on him.
Does your staff detect ooze below us?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. That's why I've been hesitant to use it.
We're on a bridge over troubled ooze.
Figured I would get a false positive.
Ghostbusters 2, guys. It's Ghostbusters 2.
Logoth, before we leave, do you see any components that would do a spell that you can do? Because I'm pretty sure that what you did to that Archon was an abjuration. Am I wrong?
All of my spells come from my dark mistress.
Oh, so no components.
The worst imitation I've ever heard.
It was like that was 15-year-old Logoth.
Oh, okay.
I would have also said Snurfeblin, dude.
Yeah, you can just get him to re-record your bits later on.
Yeah, I'll just have him record it when he's got time. but yeah, all of his abilities come from his dark mistress. So
okay.
He's good. Yeah.
I'm gonna take all the components that I can fit in pockets, except for the pink gelatinous mess that Allegan pointed out on the table.
No, he didn't point out the barrel full of pinkness was gelatinous.
There's a barrel full of pinkness, and there was...
what's in the center of the circle is considered gelatinous.
Yes, that's what I...
It's not gelatinous, it's an ooze.
The bones and, what was it, bones and other stuff?
The bones and moss are
bones and moss.
Ooze.
But yeah, that's what I don't want to get off the table, then.
Like, you can get a first through fourth small components for about a month.
For necromancy?
And abjuration.
Then I reluctantly follow everybody else. It's weird that
whatever is in the room.
I'm with you if you want to just sniper the ooze.
I mean, I can go poke it with the stick, but
just doing quick math, the volume of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about the amount of damage you would have to do to the volume of the room.
I'm thinking
it's
we should
overwhelming.
Leave. Let's leave sleeping oozes lie.
You know me, I won't stop you guys from doing anything.
Right.
Like, mathematically, we're going to be here a while.
And it'll be boring for our listeners. So we should move on. Except, like, it's really, really weird, all this. So, Allegan, you're saying the weird writing on the floor, that's an ooze as well?
Yeah, all this red amber in here is ooze.
Yep.
And it's hard to the touch, or did no one touch it? Did we follow Ravy's rule?
Don't yeah, nobody's. Nobody's
I don't think
it.
That anyone has touched it yet.
I didn't touch it. I examined it
closely,
but
if I absolutely had to guess, I'm going to say that whatever was in that amulet would probably reanimate the ooze that's in there.
That's
yeah.
A smart. That would be a very smart guess, my friend.
That's my guess too. I'm following y'all out the door. Oh, should I check it for traps? Is it wide open?
It's not open. It's closed.
All right. Then I'll check it for traps before... Because... Don't touch it. 27?
Does not appear to be trapped.
I jiggle the thingy. Does it open?
Does it open.
All right. Then let's get... what do I see when I open the door?
Reveal area. Do-do-do. Mary reveal. More bridge.
How far? How long?
At least another day.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yes. All right.
So you guys start making your way across the bridge, just trucking along. How long are you going to travel before you stop for a rest?
The time that we would get tired.
So what, about 6 hours?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you guys travel 6 hours. We're just going to use this this area up here at the top as your campsite up here.
Okay.
So are you guys going to do watches? Are you going to do a fire? Yes. Like, how are you going to set up a camp?
Is it well lit? Does it get dark? Well,
it's deliciously dark. There's a, after being in the Dawn Zone for so long, you're far enough away from this building as you're traveling, and the bridge is just made of, conjured stone, and the ocean of ooze underneath you gives off a very faint bioluminescent glow, that it's almost like an ambient, like sleeping with a very dim black light on. So it's almost a comforting glow that's coming from below you, but the bridge itself, because the light is coming from beneath you, is cast in shadow. So you guys are in a pretty comfy dark space, so there's that, definitely.
So that's why we are so tired right now. All right, I would like to take first shift and read my medical book out loud to Anu and see if they repeat any of the words.
They're more interested in chewing on the book. They do start to speak the party's names, though. Like, it does. It does seem. It's keenly the dragon is keenly intelligent. It just doesn't appear to have a grasp on linguistics yet, but it is very aware of its setting and the surroundings. It just doesn't seem to have the ability to speak, but it can start to kind of mimic the right sentence structure in Draconic for a representation of everybody's name. It's not speaking Helic yet, though. It's not there.
Says everybody's name in like a Draconic accent?
Yes, as far if there was... if Draconic...
How we say it.
Yeah, it would say your names, but it would say them within the Draconic phonics. So okay. It would be like, it doesn't sound exactly like, so Ravy, right, would be like, Rarkvi.
Okay.
So it's putting the Draconic sounds together, which are more like guttural chirps and whistles. It would be the sounds you would expect a large reptilian monster to make. So it's putting those sounds together, those growls together, as if it was trying to make the syllables form for you guys' names.
Along with some otter chitter.
There's definitely some chitter involved. And it has not left its otter form. It still has its wings, but it's definitely still in its little otter form.
I fight the excitement to wake everybody up and tell them that Anu is saying their names. But yeah, I read my book, my medicine book. I look up a number of times for watch.
Okay.
Well, also, I'll be on first with you.
That's what I was going to ask. So what's the watch order? So
me and Allegan.
Nighty and Allegan on first. Who's on second watch?
I'll go second with right. Someone.
So,
mind.
So Logoth will go with you. So Logoth and Mativus on second. Cool. So third watch will be Ravy and Ogun.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. Okay, so first watch comes. No hitches. Maddie, is Allegan doing anything during first watch?
Reading the spell book as per needed for regaining spells.
Okay.
I think there was anything I wanted to look up in the spell book, so I'll probably just be flipping through it, perusing it.
Okay. Second watch comes. You know, weirdly, Logoth is quiet. It's very strange.
I'd like to do some during my watch as well.
Yep.
So it is nighttime now, isn't it?
It is nighttime.
Cool, yeah. I'll just say to Logoth, like, do you mind just covering for me for a little bit? And I will walk off a little, not too far, just a little bit out of earshot. And I'll get on my knees, put some nice cloth on the floor, and I'll pull my sword and place it down. And I want to communicate with him.
Okay.
And I'll just be like, hey, buddy, I know it's been a while since you've had a time to chat. I think I've not been quite myself recently because this sunstone stuff has made me do some things that I probably wouldn't normally do, like jumping in at first, and just want to catch up and see if you can help us through this this time.
You see at the corner of the shadows, just right outside your vision, you're watching the shadows themselves kind of undulate and coalesce into an entity. And you see these eight draconic eyes open up. And you hear, "It has been too long. I could not come in that lit place. It reeks. My brother would like it there, but it is not a place for people like me. How are you? Are you well? You seem to have found friends."
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to apologize for the Sun Sword incident. Didn't mean any disrespect.
That was unfortunate, but I am glad it is gone. I am jealous and do not like you to wield anyone other than me.
I know. I'm sorry for that.
How may I aid you? Do you need anything? Is there any guidance I can offer?
A few things if you can help us. Like, do you know anything of this place? What may lay ahead?
You are close to a place that was inhabited by the children of Yig, an ancient city, far older than many of the surface dwellings on Maya. Not before my time, but before the time of many of those who walk. A place of reverence. Now it is overrun by something else. You actually stand above the bloodline of one of those who existed long before. The one of a thousand maddening voices, the great god Flem, flows below you. This is his body. He courses through the veins of Maya. It would probably make sense that the sword, a Polonic sword not of his type, was destroyed. And once you touched a god with it, I do not know what is ahead. That is blocked from me, for your fate is your own, as is the fate of your companions. But this I do know, you are closer to the surface than you have been in ages. Another day or two's walk and you should be out of the below.
That's good to know. So this, the ooze is the blood of a god?
The ooze is the god. It is Flem. He is below you.
We'll make sure we won't touch him again then. Also, before we finish our conversation, can you tell me, is the Lord of Chains trustworthy?
I have not dealt with devils since the madness overtook me, and since it has been removed from my mind, I choose not to walk into the abyss. My brother would be the first to warn against their guidance or friendship. He never cared for anything other than the Silver City. And even his alliances with Archons was loose. But I can tell you that in the time since the madness was taken from me, Tempest's Fall, I have on many occasions curried favor and held court with the royal houses of the Abyss. They are all worried about whatever is coming. I would travel carefully, but with an open mind. I do not believe they mean you harm. That does not mean that you are safe.
Okay. Are you with me if we need to cut him down?
Dark will welcome you into his wings if you are to fall. Do not worry.
Okay. Thank you for the information.
Thank you, Mr. Stu. And he, you know, the shadows become the great wings, and the eyes of the eternally night dragon fade back into darkness, and the shadows kind of go back to their simple selves. And you feel refreshed, rejuvenated. You feel, you know, your hit points are restored. You feel a little stronger, and you feel at peace. You knew something had been missing because you had not communed with your blade for so long, and now that you've had a chance to sit and speak with it and let the shadows wrap around you, you once more feel more like yourself, more confident. For the next 24 hours, you will have a +1 to all of your rolls.
Ah, sweet. Awesome. I will stay up a little bit longer, mm-hmm. and tell Ravy and Odin what I've learned about what we're over. Rather use. Because I feel Ravy would want to jot it down.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys can have that conversation when you wake them up before third watch. And you go back, and watch is fairly fairly uneventful. If nothing else, the only thing you really notice is that the giant bats that had been fluttering around, there's a lot less of them towards the city. But you think that probably has to do with the fact that it's, you know, getting away from their hunting grounds. So second watch ends, third watch begins. Ogun and Ravy are waking up. By all means, have whatever conversation you want to have.
Yeah, I just relay. I found out some stuff about the ewes. It's a god. So let's not touch that again. And I just, I spill off all the stuff my sword told me.
That's a lot.
That's good news, though, that we aren't too far from the surface. It's awesome that your god favors you that way.
It was good to hear that we're almost out.
Good stuff. I long to breathe fresh air again.
I should have asked him about Gregory as well, I suppose. But we'll find out soon enough.
I have a feeling he's fine.
I hope so.
So you guys doing anything during third watch?
I'm going to read.
Okay.
And chill out with Ogun.
I'm going to enjoy some shark sashimi and pray to my god and recharge all my spells.
I'm going
to
cut you some shark sashimi because I'm really good at that.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And maybe mix you a little sauce if we have something.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Very, very kind.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm Ravy's bento shop is always... No, I'm just kidding.
That would be fantastic. No, that's good stuff. I love it.
If you finally
retire, that might be your next step.
That's my calling.
Books and bento?
I'm going to take an hour for all my spells, and then I'm going to reset some spells.
Nice.
And then I'm going to also read some of my library.
Yeah.
I have some more Kavagar poetry to finish, and... I'm sorry, Kavagar slam poetry to finish. And then, because I already finished Book of Malik, right. I'm going to move on to the medical tomes that I grabbed and start making my way through.
Sweet. So you get through a little bit more slam poetry. Go ahead and throw me an int check.
You have gone mad with slam poetry.
It's just a 7 raw in. There's just a 7. As you get through it, it doesn't sound like he's into this at all. Like you're really getting the feeling that like he's not really into any of the experimentation that's going on. He really is kind of curious as to who his parents were. He really wants to like kind of go and explore the world. He's feeling really uncomfortable that he's just kind of locked up in this temple. Everything that you're pulling from this book, it really indicates that he was an angsty teenager who wanted to go and do stuff, and he feels very stuck in the situation that he's in, and he doesn't like it at all. And that's kind of the vibe that you're pulling as you're going through it.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to do any maintenance I have to my two armor and hammer that I can do without making too much noise and waking up the serpents, like, you know, whatever, like malleting or
you actually
sharpening
feel like,
or things like that I can do without.
You feel like after you've done your nightly devotional, now that you're away from the Dawnstone Temple and you're kind of in this dark area on the bridge, you feel uniquely connected to your deity. You feel like after you do your devotions and you start working the armor, that the sounds of just the general sloshing of the ooze and the breathing of your compatriots and the natural like underground groans and creaks somehow muffles the sound of the hammer and the tools, as if, you know, you're being allowed to make these craft checks without much notice, as if there was a way to apply a sneak roll to crafting that's happening. And it's kind of, you're inferring that there may be a connection between what Flim does and the workings of Maya and the connection to deities. Like, there might be a rainbow connection in there somewhere.
That's cool, because I mean, I've been, you know, apart from what I normally do, all, you know, all through this entire adventure, and, you know, to be able to feel good about being able to, like, you know, do simple stuff like maintain my things or whatever probably gives me a better sense of peace. So
that's it does. Cool. You feel more at balance. Like, any religion affiliates, anybody who has any deities, anybody that can speak with a being from another dimension, etc., you feel as if the it's going to be a funny word, the lubricant between the mundane and the divine is a lot more fluid because of Flem's existence. Like, maybe that's the role that he plays. Third watch ends, and everybody's up. Any conversations need to be had?
I think we're all good. I just read some medical texts, so I feel smart. And probably a bit bored.
Yeah, you're like, I'm ready to walk again. It's walking is so boring, but I'm ready to do it again.
We could compare notes. I also read a medical journal during my watch.
While we walk.
Yeah.
Do you guys mention anything to the rest of the party about anything
Anu?
Tiva said, or Anu, or
yeah, I'll relay all the stuff I relay to the other guys.
Okay.
During a montage.
Montage.
I was just gonna say, I was gonna kind of commiserate Matibus about how he was able to speak to his deity. I was able felt closer to the mind too. I mean, maybe, you know, talking about the god beneath our feet. Maybe that's, like you're saying, like the lubricant between the worlds.
So you guys have been traveling for a while.
Do we still hear the number five and all the voices?
Anybody who had rolled and heard it, I'm not sure if everybody can hear it.
I know I did.
Yeah, there were specific roles that allowed you to hear the number five. Everybody else just hears the muttering.
Logoth heard it.
Right, and I think Logoth and Allegan were the only two that heard it.
And that was it. Nobody else.
So everybody else just hears the muttering.
Did Logoth, or probably not Logoth.
Logoth
would have it. You told us that you hear the number five?
Nobody mentioned it.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, in traveling, I might have just mentioned, like, do you guys hear that five every now and then? That's just kind of weird. Like, it's not a. I didn't like stop everybody in their tracks and break down that something is saying five. It's just kind of a, yeah, this muttering is weird, and like, somebody just keeps saying five.
I don't hear five.
I don't think Maddie would have brought it up. I don't think Allegan would have brought it up. I don't know. If he did, it was in passing.
Yeah.
I mean, but you guys can have conversation and bring up whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
DM question. Are these voices, do they sound like they're from the same person or from different people?
1,000 voices, all speaking in different dialects and languages.
Okay.
Now, having learned what we have, we can kind of go, okay.
Religious knowledge would indicate who Flem is, and it would take a fairly high roll to know who he was.
Good morning, Flem.
With Pathfinder, if I have some skill that's not checked, does that mean I can't try it?
No, you can try any skill.
Okay.
They're just untrained.
That's right, because Tevis does it all the time.
All the time. Yeah, he rolls untrained.
Yeah,
that's
very successfully. Class skill.
Yeah, you would have heard of Flem, the one of 1,000 maddening voices. So yeah, you would have known him.
Oh, okay. So that matches. Does five mean anything to you? So far, we have seen the four horsemen. Mm-hmm. How many chessmen? And the different sins? That's more than five.
There's seven sins.
Yeah. How many chessmen?
Does anybody remember? Does anybody know?
No.
Is it the same amount that was on a board?
64.
We've been counting one white and one black one.
Yeah, there's 64 pieces 64. On a chessboard. Yeah.
64.
Well, 16 pieces, 64 squares.
I've still got the buckler.
Yep.
I've still got the chess piece.
Good. Hold on to that.
They're both pawns.
All right, so five doesn't match any of those. Logoth?
He says something to the effect of, if anybody solves that mystery, it will be, it'll be a new revelation.
Does that mean you know something?
No,
you confuse me so much, Logoth.
Yeah, definitely doesn't know anything about the number 5.
Okay, all right.
Because he would ask me if he knew anything, and I would say, do you? And he would say, I don't remember anything. And then I would say, then you've been trapped in a mirror and you don't remember anything. And then they would try to figure out if Maddie knows anything. And Maddie actually doesn't know anything about the number 5. So then nobody knows anything. I know, but that I literally think I'm the only person who knows what the number 5 means. And I'm not telling you. You guys are going to figure it out.
It seems all very accurate.
So that's about how that plays.
I do not feel like I got any good sleep. Didn't matter that the sun wasn't shining on us the entire time. All these voices are just, it's just BS. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to get out of here. I want some real sunshine. I want soil beneath my feet. I want to smell green trees. I want some bees. I miss my bees.
At this point, I think the voices are more just kind of like a nice ambient noise.
They're nothing like the bees.
Like a Brian Eno album.
It's better than an Enya album.
We could do something a little silly while we're here, which would look cool on the resume. How many people can say they spat on a god? We could spit off the side of the bridge. And that's on it. We can then say to people, we spat on a god.
Does your sword think that's a good idea?
I can't talk to him during the day. But like...
The gnome doesn't think it's a good idea.
It is the blood of a god.
No, it is the god. It's legit. It is. That is Phlegm. Phlegm is one of 1,000 magic boys. That's Phlegm. You have been walking over Phlegm.
I'm going to say, it might be a bad idea, but... It'd be still pretty cool to tell people.
Seems like a bad idea.
Plus, you tried to stab it. It probably doesn't care for you.
Didn't attack us when I tried to stab it, so it won't really care about spit.
Well, I mean, Matavis is a dragon deity, so we only have one more day till we meet the surface, so let's just stick it out. Come on, what do you say? Let's sing a tune.
So you guys are traveling.
I'll walk in silence.
And
okay, let's not sing a tune.
No, no, I was going to say, there's a jaunty tune being sung.
Nine bottoms.
And you guys come up to these, you guys kind of see, as you draw ever closer to the city, you start to see these, these statues of humanoid snake-like beings flanking side by side on the bridge. So they're probably about 40 feet tall. They look like bipedal humans. They have a slight scaling pattern to their skins. Most of them physically look to be kind of built like an elf in the physical appearance. Where that starts to differentiate is around the neck. The neck sort of becomes like a hood, like a cobra's hood, and they have a very snake-like face. Most of the statues depict these beings in robes, or very flowing garments, very flowy, loose garments that are still kind of sheer. So you get all the curves of the muscles and the body. And then they are holding, some are holding wands, some are holding staffs, some are holding these very like thin, delicate looking swords. And it seems that all of the weapons and accessories that these statues seem to be holding are all very finely crafted, but none of them look like blunt instruments of war. If one could say that a weapon was artistic, one could say that a weapon was crafted for finesse, for dexterous movement, to be used as an extension of the body as opposed to a blunt instrument to chop and hack. These would be those types of items that these statues are holding. And there's close to 300 of these things just lining the sides of the bridge as you guys are making your way towards the city.
Have we run into creatures like this before?
You haven't, no.
Do these look like the snake people that we saw back at the temple in the statues?
Very much so, yes.
Okay.
And these statues look to be here, not taken. If you can remember in the hag's home, they had been stealing statues and just decorating with them. These look like these statues are here. Like they were made here, they were put here, they're here for a reason. Like they were intended to be here.
Yeah, we're definitely getting close to the Yig Sea then. And my sword did say it was there are things there, but it couldn't see any further, so we should be cautious on our approach.
So you guys keep traveling?
Yes.
Alright, cool. So you're traveling along. It probably takes singing a song, traveling along. It probably takes you another, I would say, 8 hours before you get to the city proper. As you kind of get into the city of Dawnstone, you're in this kind of long forgotten kingdom. I mean, it's this massive city. It sprawls in every direction. The sides of the massive kind of cave work system that you're in have started to draw closer roof-wise. The walls are starting to get closer together. You can see them on either side now. They don't spread out into the horizon like it was earlier, where you were just kind of looking off to the left and the right and it was going on forever. Once you cross over the bridge, you leave the slight bioluminescent glow of phlegm behind you, and you cross, you know, some land into the city. You're traveling through the city. It's fairly barren. I mean, there's a lot of buildings. You're poking your head into some of them. They look like little homes, little hovels, like places where maybe people slept, but a lot of it is just kind of empty. It's really a little bit disorienting. Your footfalls cause like very little echo. And what's really strange is, you know, these buildings are casting light. So there's no shadows on the ground from the buildings. But the ground itself, the walls, and the sky above you are all black as pitch because of the nature of the stone. So it's as if you're looking at a city in negative. So it's, you know what I mean? It makes you feel slightly uncomfortable. It's disorienting in a way that conjures memories of another city that you all have seen before, only in a sharp contrast. So, you know, you can take that information.